Welcome, thirsty soul. The South Main Church of Christ podcast is intended as a collaborative effort between the Churches of Christ in East Central and Southeast Ohio who sing vocal music during worship services. Our goal with the podcast is simple: to connect the message of Christ with you through the lessons from the Bible. We hope you will find this podcast to be a fountain for all. Hi, this is Jim Lanning. This week on the South Main Church of Christ podcast, we're sitting down with Terry Townsend again for the conclusion of Why Stop the Chariot?
You've probably heard it used or illustrated this way, a raincoat. What's the purpose of a raincoat? Why would you put a rain? What's a raincoat used for?
To protect you from the rain.
All right. Is it of any benefit to you if it's raining outside and it's hanging there? If it just hangs there, you've got to do what?
Put it on.
You've got to put it on. Right. Well, we've got to put Christ on, and according to Galatians 3, 26 and 27, we do that in baptism. It's then that we receive all the blessings. We're washed in His blood. Revelation 1, verse number 5.
That's coming up in a few moments. First, the Christian news with Jared.
The Christian news is updated frequently on its own page on our website, smcocnl.org. It is a resource of dozens of stories, but with a focus on Ohio. Some of the stories that we've covered on the Christian News include the Ohio State Buckeyes' baptisms and prayers on their road to the national title. Also, the Churches of Christ disaster response team near Dayton and their recovery efforts after major storms. Many more topics are covered on the Christian News page on smcocnl.org.
We heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Find the sea and cross the waves. Onward is our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Now, Tyler has this week's inspirational thought.
Therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through 20. I'm Tyler Wade.
He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid that debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
Now, the conversation. Welcome, Terry. We're glad to have you back again, and we're at part three of Why Stop the Chariot.
Yeah, it's good to be back, and we'll try to wrap this up today. We've been looking at Acts chapter 8. I love the book of Acts, and I mentioned a couple segments ago about the pivotal chapters in the book of Acts, and Acts 2, Acts 10, and Acts 15, but everything in between is also important. Acts 8, verse 12, as we've mentioned already, that's a key verse here in this context. But it's also key, really, in the entirety of the book of Acts, because the book of Acts is all about the history, the early history of the church, its beginnings, Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, and how the church grew and multiplied, and then it started facing persecution, and And then you had some inner turmoil that begins to happen. And these things still go on today. And it's not an accident that God records these things. In Acts chapter 6, there's a little bit of a, I don't want to say divisiveness, but there is a problem that arises with Grecian widows. In that day and time, the church took care of a lot of widows. A lot of people had come in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost from all over and had stayed there for a period of time, there in Jerusalem, and not gone back home. And I think that was good because it gave the church, the early church, time to grow and mature, with the apostles taking the lead in the teaching. And so there was needs that would come up. You have like people like Barnabas and others who were giving, contributing to the work of the church, and that money was being used, laid down at the apostles' feet to help in benevolent works as well as the broadening of the borders of God's kingdom. But in Acts 6, so you have this little bit of turmoil that's quickly dealt with. It wasn't something that the leadership just swept under the rug. Oh, it'll go away eventually. No, it was taking away time from the apostles, their main responsibility. So they dealt with it. And one of the men that was called in to help deal with it was this man we're talking about, Philip. Mm-hmm. And we read about him in Acts chapter 8. And he's like many of them, were scattered abroad in Acts 8 verse 4 because of persecution that fell on the early church. And really, it's interesting that, you know, we would look at that today and go, oh, that's something really bad that happened to God's people. They're having to leave. They're being threatened. Some, you know, Acts 7, you had Stephen stoned to death. But it was really a fulfillment of Acts 1, verse 8, when Jesus said, you'll be witnesses of me beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the world. They needed time to mature, and they needed time to grow, not only spiritually, but in number. Persecution served then as a means to getting the gospel out into all. So we don't need to look at persecution even that might come today. And I hope it doesn't. But in some ways, we are persecuted as God's people. People will make fun of us, but not to the degree that these early Christians faced.
Right.
But all things work together for good. So there are good things that can result. And we see that here in Acts chapter 8. Philip goes down into Samaria and then into a desert place. What's he doing? Preaching things concerning Christ and the kingdom. Now, he meets the eunuch. The eunuch's reading from an Old Testament prophet by the name of Isaiah. That particular passage that he was studying from was Isaiah 53, a messianic prophecy. Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? How can I unless somebody show me? So the eunuch invited Philip up into the chariot. And starting at the same scripture, the Bible says, Philip preached to him Jesus Christ. Acts 8, verse 12. They come upon a body of water. The eunuch says, here's water. What's hindering me from being baptized? Things concerning the kingdom. Philip, along the way, preaching Christ and things concerning Christ's church, the kingdom, obviously said something to the eunuch about what one needed to do to become a citizen of that kingdom, a Christian. Entrance into the kingdom requires baptism. So they stop the chariot. They go down into the water together. And the Bible says that Philip baptized the eunuch and they came up out of the water. The Spirit called away Philip and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Now we mentioned, why did they stop the chariot? And we've mentioned a number of things. We looked at number one, if goodness and righteousness alone saves, then why did they stop the chariot?
Right.
The eunuch was a good person. He was a righteous man. He was in Jerusalem, returning, going back home after being in Jerusalem. Why was he there? To worship God. Well, if all was necessary for him to be saved was to just be a good moral person, a righteous person, why did they stop the chariot? Or if reading the scripture alone was enough, why stop the chariot? He was obviously reading the scripture. A lot of people today believe that's all that is necessary. Or if preaching or teaching is all that is necessary. You know, I sat and listened to Philip teach. That's good enough, right? No. If that was good enough, why did they stop the chariot? I want to pose three more questions as we bring this lesson to a close. If faith only is enough, that is, if just believing in Jesus is enough, why did they stop the chariot? He made the great confession. when Philip said, if you believe with all thy heart, you may. He says, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If that's enough, receiving Christ into our hearts. You know, we hear this all the time from people. When were you saved? When I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. Well, that's good. You've studied and you've acknowledged and believe in Jesus. Well, the eunuch did the same thing, but if that was enough, why did they stop the chariot and go down into the water? So faith only is not enough. We've got to be doers of the word and not hearers only. But I want to read a couple other passages of scripture that for our listeners. Maybe some of you are out there and you're listening and you're thinking, well, I believe in that, and I've always been taught that's all I've got to do. Well, you've got to believe. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible now I've got the verse wrong. It is possible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that, notice this, and that is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. James 2, beginning at verse 19, James writes, you believe that God is one, you do well. I believe there's one God. Well, James says you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? James is all about faith. Yes, Paul taught that. But it's an active, obedient faith. That's what James is driving at. It's not just believing. You've got to then act upon that, do something with it. In Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse 27, Agrippa believed, but did faith alone save him? It says in Acts 26, 27, King Agrippa, Paul asked, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. There's something a little different about becoming a Christian. It's not just hearing the word. It's not just believing that word. Agrippa believed all that. He wasn't willing to accept it or do something about it. So if faith only is enough, why then did the eunuch stop the chariot? Let me pose this question. If saying a prayer is all it takes, why did they stop the chariot? Many people have heard about or have uttered the sinner's prayer, often referred to as the sinner's prayer. I don't think a lot of people, and maybe some listening, even realize where that came from. That, first off, that's not Bible. That's not Scripture. Now, I'm not suggesting or saying, or anybody in the Church of Christ suggesting, that prayer is not important.
Right.
We would all agree that prayer is absolutely important. We should pray without ceasing. Christ gave us the model prayer. We have the Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17. But the sinner's prayer came about by a man by the name of Billy Sunday. He was a preacher in a denomination, and he was a former Major League Baseball player. My understanding, he played 8 years in the major leagues. And he left baseball and began preaching. And he was a radio evangelist. And so in order to claim higher numbers of converts, it's been reported, you can Google this and find this information on the internet, Billy would invite listeners to lay their hands on the radio and repeat this prayer after me. And then he uttered the sinner's prayer. He assured his listeners that if they believed and repeated his prayer, that they would be saved. And that's all that was necessary. And I still know of people today, and there are televangelists today, and I won't call them by name, but you probably have heard of some of them, that'll say at the conclusion of a lesson that if you'll just repeat this prayer after me, you'll be saved. And just kind of and fun, and I don't mean this to be harsh. A lot of them will then say, but also throw some money my way and we'll make sure or guarantee. You know, Peter had something to say about that where he put his readers, he said, you know, you got to be cautious of these men who will make merchandise of you. We in the Churches of Christ, things like this, we're not calling or asking for money. We contribute. We give back every first day of the week. We don't do these types of programs to call for money. We don't do that in the Churches of Christ. But anyway, that's for another lesson. So if saying a prayer was enough, then why didn't Philip just say, you know what, let's say this prayer, you repeat after me, and then you can be saved and I can leave and you can go on your way rejoicing. That's not what they did. They stopped the chariot. They went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and Philip baptized him. Let me ask this question. If baptism is not necessary, Why did they stop the chariot? They stopped the chariot. They went down into the water. And Philip baptized him. Now, was it sunny that day? It may have been hot. Maybe that would have been refreshing to him. Was it a muddy pool of water? We're not told. Maybe, right. You know, if baptism wasn't necessary, you know, why didn't they just, you know what? I believe I've accepted Christ. That's enough. But I want to be baptized because, after all, Jesus set that example. But let me just wait until I go into town and I call my family and my friends and my neighbors and we can make a great big celebration out of that. If that's the case, if baptism's really not necessary, why did they stop right then? Did he have a change of clothes? We're not told whether he did or not. Most people in that day and time didn't have a lot of clothes. The truth of the matter is the eunuch came to the conclusion baptism was absolutely essential to salvation. And there was a sense of urgency about it that he said, hey, here's water. What's hindering me? Well, nothing. He believed. And so they stopped the chariot and they went down into the water together. And so baptism is absolutely essential to salvation. It's not everything. It's what puts us into Christ. Galatians 3, beginning of verse 26, it says, Paul writes to a church at Galatia, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have done what? Have put on Christ. Where are all the spiritual blessings?
In Christ.
In Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 7. What are those blessings? Forgiveness, hope, salvation. It's like you've probably heard it used or illustrated this way, a raincoat. What's the purpose of a raincoat? Why would you put a rain? What's a raincoat used for?
Protect you from the rain.
All right. Is it of any benefit to you if it's raining outside and it's hanging there? If it just hangs there, you've got to do what?
Put it on.
You've got to put it on. Right. Well, we've got to put Christ on, and according to Galatians 3, 26 and 27, we do that in baptism. It's then that we receive all the blessings. We're washed in his blood. Revelation 1, verse number 5.
Right.
We're added to his kingdom, the church, Acts 2, verse 47. We receive the remission of sins. Acts 2 and verse 38 is where that we contact the blood of Christ. It's where we put on Christ. It's where the death of the old sinful man takes place and the new man comes forth. 1 Peter 3, verse 21. I'll close with this and I'll turn it over to you. 1 Peter 3, verse 21 says, the like figure whereunto baptism doth now also save us. What saves us? Baptism, he says right there.
Right.
The context that Peter is talking about there is Noah and the flood. You can back up to verse 20 and 21. The water that God used to destroy the old world because of sin. Noah was saved by faith. He did all that God, he entered the ark. That water back there in Genesis 6, 7, and 8 served as a line of demarcation between the old world of sin, and now Noah comes through that into a new world, a clean new world. That's what baptism does. We put to rest or to death the old man of sin. There's nothing special about that water in and of itself. It's what God commands us to do. And we are raised up, what? A new creature. That's why then in Acts chapter 8, the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. He couldn't do that until what? They had stopped the chariot and went down into the watery grave of baptism. And then they went on their way rejoicing. I hope these things have helped.
Oh, I'm sure they have. Excellent, Terry, the things you brought up, the many scriptures on this. We would encourage you to read Acts chapter 8 and study that over and think about these things. And we'll have Terry back with us anytime we have the opportunity to do that. Thank you for coming, Terry.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Here's Mark Randolph with this week's bulletin announcements.
Welcome this week to our weekly announcements. We remember all the ones that's on our prayer list, especially the ones that's went through surgeries and procedures this past week or so, and be with the ones that's also recovering from the surgeries and the procedures. Be with all them and during this time of rehealing. Our Bible studies are Sunday morning for 9:45. encourage you to be involved with that. Also, the ladies get together on Sunday night at 5 p.m. on the phone. I encourage all the ladies to get with that. Also, we have our midweek Bible studies on Wednesday night at 6:30. Encourage you to attend that and come with that. We have our youth group. They get together on Friday, April the 11th, and that's 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., and that'll be in our fellowship hall. I encourage all the youth to come for that. Also, the ladies get together on every other Saturday morning, and the next Saturday will be April the 12th, and that'll be from 8:30 to 9:30 that morning. I encourage you to come for all the ladies to be on there. This is Mark Randolph bringing you the weekly announcements.
My closing thoughts today is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting with verse 7. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are two things I would think of as Terry was talking on why did the chariot stop. Someday we'll be held accountable of whether we know God and whether we obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Ethiopian was studying the Bible, the Word of God. That's important. So he wanted to know God, and it seems that he did. But he also had to obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ as Philip taught it. And if we look through the book of Acts, it explains what the gospel of Jesus Christ is, as Terry has explained in these three podcasts. I would invite you to come to our services on Sundays. Our Bible study is 9:45 a.m., and the worship service follows at 10:30. Thanks for listening. I'm Jim Lanning, currently serving as one of the three elders at South Main Church of Christ in New Lexington, Ohio. The other two elders at our church are Tom Shepherd and Ernie Starling. Our theme is There's a Fountain Free, composed by Mrs. M.B.C. Slade and Dr. A.B. Everett. Other hymns we feature in this podcast are He Paid a Debt He Did Not Owe, composed by American Folk Melody and Pam Stevenson. Also, we have heard A Joyful Sound, composed by William J. Kirkpatrick and Priscilla J. Owens. And to close this podcast, I'll Fly Away, composed by Albert E. Brumley. We would like to thank all of the guests who agreed to take part in our discussion each week and hope to have them back with us in the future to discuss the Bible and what we can learn from Scripture. Our guests this season are from, but not limited to, the following organizations: the Southeast Ohio Food Bank in Logan, Hawking County; Christ's Table in Zanesville, Muskingum County; Somerset Church of Christ in Somerset, Perry County; New Concord Church of Christ in New Concord, Muskingum County; Churches of Christ Disaster Response Team in Tip City, Miami County; Pennsville Church of Christ in Pennsville, Ohio, Morgan County; Lone Star Church of Christ in Falls of Rough, Kentucky, World Bible School. Our weekly announcements are written by Holly Randolph and narrated by Mark Randolph. Thanks to Jared Allen, our technology room steward and media producer, as well as for serving as the writer, editor, and the scheduler of our guests. Jared also is our webmaster and assembler of the stories on the Christian News webpage. We thank all of our church members for their support. Most of all, we thank you for listening each week to the South Main Church of Christ podcast and hope you will subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We hope you will come join us for a Sunday worship service at 7 Smith Street in New Lexington, Ohio, and stop in during one of our Bible study sessions. Please be on the lookout for our special podcast posted from time to time. Let's talk again in a week.